Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother Murad Muhammad, live on your Blog Talk Radio. 7 o'clock this evening, Tuesday evening, every Tuesday evening of the week. We come to you from Monday to Sunday, 52 weeks out of the year. On the behalf of New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, we bring you these broadcasts to keep you informed, to allow you to understand the religion of Islam. We allow you to understand what Islam represents, and brothers and sisters, that it is not a religion that you put on and take off like a suit of clothing. We try to allow you to realize that Islam, peace of mind, peace of contentment, peace in your soul and your spirit, peace in your actions and your deeds. Yes, this is Allah, God, glorify is his name, gave this to mankind. To every human being on the face of the planet Earth is offered to accept a religion called El-Islam. And hopefully tonight we can give you some clarity, but we're not just speaking to those who know. We're not just speaking to those who don't know. We're speaking to the minds of the human beings that's confused. Those who say they know and those who don't know are confused. Yes, those El-Islam is confusing and doesn't understand that El-Islam is not just a ritual. Actually, brothers and sisters, you won't even find that word in the Holy Quran, that Islam has no rituals. But it's a word that is used in the English language, and it does not identify in God's words. What we do in showing our faith to God is our own responsibility, and we do it collectively. For Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't need us to bow and submit to him. No, but he will be very merciful to us that we decide to do that. Each individual must stand on his own two feet. Each individual have to understand this is your responsibility. And when we do it collectively, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us because he created us as a community. And so on Tuesday, I, Murad Muhammad, tries to give you some enlightening on the religion of El-Islam. But keep in mind, it's an everyday life. It's a way of life. But religion doesn't make you, it complements you. And so if you are in Christianity and you are a no good person and a low-lifed person in Christianity, well, that's who you are. Likewise with El-Islam. If you take on the religion of El-Islam and you are low-lifed and disgusting and have no character whatsoever, then you are a no good person with no character and low-lifed in El-Islam. It's like man and woman. A female complements a man, and a man complements a female. But there's no way that female, that's a woman, can compliment a boy as her other half. It's very difficult for her to do that, brothers and sisters, because if, in fact, she tries to instill in him that I am a woman and I have woman's needs, my mind has escalated above being a child. And I had children, or I do have children, and so therefore I can't cater to you as if you are a child. So she can't compliment you. However, because she's a woman and you are a man in your actions and deeds, you'll compliment one another. Well, that's El-Islam. El-Islam can't compliment you if you decide to have one foot in hell and one foot in heaven. if you decide that you don't know who you are and what you're about or where you're going, it's going to be very difficult for you to comprehend the religion of Islam. It's very difficult for you to comprehend any religion. We put emphasis on Islam is because that's the only religion that 1,500,000,000 Muslims understand, that we, that follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we who stand upright in our prayers, we who make sajda prayer and get down on our hands and knees and put our head on the earth that birthed us, we that tries to pray to God 5 times a day, all of these men and women understand that God created Islam. Nobody else. You can't find it in history how, in fact, that man was able to create Islam. You can find in scripture that man created Judaism, and you can find in scripture that man created Christianity, as well as Buddhism and any other religion. But you can't find nowhere in any scripture where, in fact, that man created Islam. Islam is chosen by God. He perfected it to be perfect and said, I have chosen for you Islam to be your religion, and I perfected it to be perfect. Now, if God chose that for us, then we should accept it, because man can't take the credit for it. However, Islam, in the word Islam, it may not have been here, because 1,400 years ago is when man came into the understanding what Islam meant and where did this religion come from, through Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the religion means peace. I don't care you what you read in scripture, but you're always going to find out in the beginning of time there was peace on earth. So the word peace is broad, it's consistent. It was created before you understood Islam. So what is a good religion that's created by God? Where can you find fault in a religion that represents peace? Because the religion is created by God, and because the religion has been established as Islam, there are people in Islam that bring difficulties in the sense of the word, they cannot live a decent life. You can't give that to God, because wherever you go, you must struggle. I did not say it, brothers and sisters. God says first comes difficulty and then comes ease. So it is very difficult for you to operate in this society and not go through trial and error. You must go through trial and error to prove that you are worthy of the gift that God gives you. I use this all the time by saying to you that the woman goes through 9 months. 9 months of ache and pain, 9 months to deliver the greatest gift given to mankind, a child is born. So why would God take the greatest gift on earth and make the female struggle in her life to deliver a blessing to the world? Well, that's God saying, if I can take that female through those that trauma and that struggle, who are you? And God says it. I have tried those before you, and who are you not to be tried? Isn't that amazing that God talks to us like that? But we don't understand it. Some of us can't comprehend it. And frankly, some of us don't even give a damn. But here on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, everything we do on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speak, you're going to hear the juice of the Quran. because that's what motivates us. That's what gives us determination, and that what gives us a great understanding how to live in this world. Yes, brothers and sisters, if you don't have Allah and the angels to help you, it's going to be very difficult, very, very difficult for you to understand that it is a trial and error that you must go through trying to avoid Satan and his tricks and how he is trying to con us and deceive us. You will go through that trial. And it's already written that we're going to pass the test. Did you know that? Yes, it is written that we will pass the test. But some of us don't believe that. You got young men today in the world wants to give up. They'll tell you in a minute that they ain't making it past 25. They have given up. That's a shame and a disgrace. How could we change it? Well, we got to set a precedent that God is great regardless of what you're going through. Go down the street. Speak with your neighbor, and you will find out your neighbor is catching more hell than you are catching. And maybe you appreciate your situation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he does not place a burden on a soul that which it cannot withstand. That's amazing, that he cannot withstand. So that means whatever burden you have on you, it was chosen in your mother's womb that Allah would give you that burden. But you got to be able to handle that burden. And if, in fact, you call on your Lord and you weather that storm, at the end, you would thank God that you made it. Well, another one is coming, and another one is coming. For Allah says, I will try you from the cradle to your grave. It's a struggle for you to get the attention of your mother to change your diaper. It's a struggle for you to get your mother to know that you want to eat. It's a struggle for you when you can't speak to get anybody's attention. It's a struggle for you to begin to walk and you can constantly fall. It's a struggle for you trying to feed yourself. Everything is a struggle. But look at you now. You passed that test. And now you have elevated and escalated. And look at your specimen of a human being. You come from that infant to a grown man. But every year that you continue on the straight path and trying to be obedient to God is when you'll realize that you have a blessing where God is blessing you, brothers and sisters. You are being blessed that you would be able to handle anything that God has created and put in your way. What is that? When you are shocked and amazed, what am I doing here? And you know it wasn't you. Now don't put that on God. You decide to rob a bank and you got shot. Don't put that on God that you was getting ready to rob Miss Mary and someone stabbed you. Don't put that on God that you went out to shoot somebody and you got shot. You can't put that on God. That's not the burden that God put on. You put that on yourself. I'm talking about trials and error, having children. You only want one child, but you had twins. You only wanted two children, but you had triplets. You only wanted five babies, but you had eight or nine. Those are the burdens that God has put on the individual, and he must be able to cope. Now, when you look at it as a curse, then that's just what it would be, a curse. But when you would look at it as one of those children, it could be the answer to cancer, the answer to sickle cell, the answer to racism, the answer to be able to figure out why things are happening they shouldn't, the answer to creativity that can help the masses today and the present and help the masses in the future. Those children have that capability. But we don't make children. We make whoopee, but we don't make children. But Allah makes babies. And so therefore, if Allah delivers out of that woman's womb more than one child, then he's saying, I gave it to you because you can handle it. But if you give up, brothers and sisters, you're not going to be able to handle it. But if you look at it as being a blessing, yes, like your spouse, you have to look at your spouse as being a blessing, but we don't do that. We look for fault. All of us got fault, but are you looking for a fault? Are you living a miserable life? And because you got conspiracy that my husband might be in doing this or vice versa, my wife might be in doing that, that's hell. Who wants that kind of hell in their life? But it happens every day. No, you have to look for the good. You have to understand that which you do good, Allah will reward you. I know you want it today. You wanted it today. You want it tomorrow. You want it next week. I can't tell you when it's coming. But I can guarantee you one thing, if you're right and you stay on the righteous path and avoid all this temptation, you're going to receive it. And when you receive it, you're going to feel good about yourself. Because why? You have came conditioned and you are operated on the idea that I can persevere, that I can endure to the end. There's an old saying, is that not one to the swiftest, is one who can endure to the end. And so therefore, tonight, inshallah, tonight I will try to give you some logic, inshallah. You know, Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, and I'm a student of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, and he said that when you say inshallah, you should say it after you make your commitment. Because if you say it before it, you can be faking one out. Inshallah, I'll do this. If it pleases God, I'll do this. No, you say, I am going to do that. Inshallah. Meaning, make the commitment. Make the commitment that you're going to do good by your spouse. You're going to do good by your mother. You're going to do good by your siblings. You're going to do good by your neighbor, your brothers and your sisters. Yes, and if in fact you make that commitment, Allah will reward you. And if in fact it doesn't happen, you still get the reward as if you did it. That's how merciful God is, because he knows your heart. And you might say some most despicable things out of your mouth, but he knows your heart. You might make a mistake, but he knows your heart. You might have felt victim, but he knows your heart. And if you beg Allah to forgive any mistake you have done that's not correct, he's most forgiving and most merciful. That's your Lord, the Lord of all the worlds that created the heavens and the earth and everything between it. Not a leaf can fall from a tree without the will of God. My brothers and sisters, all you who are listening to me, it was written in your mother's womb. It was literally written in your mother's womb that you'll be listening to this broadcast. Nothing happened that with the will of God that's a shock to the angels, a shock to God himself. It might shock you, but all you do is living the pattern that God created you to be. And once in a while, we deviate from that pattern. But if you beg God for forgiveness and get up and show effort that you want to be back on the pattern which God had created you, and you now become pleasing in your soul that you decide not to shoot drugs, not to snort coke. You decide not to be a pimp. You decide not to be a prostitute or a gambler or a drive-by gangbanger. When you decide not to do that and you please your soul, now you pleases God. Because God says, I will not change the condition of a people until they change that which is bothering their soul. What is bothering your soul, sister? Do you have a bad feeling that you can't find no man? What is bothering your soul, sister? Is it because you feel that you failed with one, two, three, or four, that you're going to fail with the fifth one? What is bothering your soul, sister? Is it because you look in the mirror and you don't look like you looked before? What is bothering your soul? You see, if you don't find out what's bothering your soul, God cannot help you. He can only help you until you please your soul. And if your soul is pleasing, then you just please God. So you want to be a pimp, a drug dealer. What is bothering your soul? You want to run around here and just jump in and out of a female. What is bothering your soul, brother? You want the best things out of life, but you want to steal for it. What's bothering your soul? Did you go to prison for doing something wrong? Is that bothering your soul? Tell me, what is bothering your soul? You got to know what's bothering your soul before you're able to handle it. It's like going to a psychiatrist. He had to dig deep to try to figure out what is disturbing you. You have to know what's disturbing you. If you don't know what's disturbing you, you will never overcome that obstacle. So you got to dig deep into your soul and realize that something is bothering me. So listen to what God says. I reiterate, God only helps those who help themselves. I will not change the condition of a people, meaning that's you and me, until they change that which is bothering their soul. So what's bothering your soul, brother? Until you find out that, then you would be a better person in this society, and you're on your way to paradise in the hereafter. But you know you can live in paradise while you live? Oh, yeah. Just read all of Scripture. And when you start comprehending all of Scripture, the man Moses Muhammad taught me, and then you are in paradise. We say with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor and the Merciful Redeemer. The praise and the thanks is for Allah, God. We thank Him for the gift and the blessing on the mortal human person, Muhammad. The person, Muhammad. The honorable and noble servant and messenger of God. Which follows that salute or that traditional salutation to the last prophet. The seal of the prophet. Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah. The son of Abdullah. That is known in the Bible as we refer to as the Injil. That is given to us in the Holy Quran. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. So we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbi Admin. Wasa Asa Wasalaya Wasa Wasuli Kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salaka Allah wa Deen. Brothers and sisters and friends and acquaintances and associates and enemies. Yes. We have enemies that listen to this broadcast. And they got a pencil and a paper to find out what mistake did you make. Or did you quote the Quran correctly? Or did you say the proper pronunciation of the Arabic? Is you who you say you are? So they look for fault. As I stated earlier, when you're looking for fault, you may find it. So a man got on a white suit. Oh, is he sharp? But look real close. Get your magnifying glass. You might find a spot on that suit. Well, it happens. But look at the suit. He is sharp. If you didn't find that spot, you would know how sharp he was. Well, it's likewise in being an upright human being. You got more good than your fault. That's all God asks for. He says, your good might outweigh your bad. So I ask you, what are you doing judging another human being? But did you look in the mirror and saw yourself? Do you see yourself getting old than what you looked like before? Do you see yourself not being able to progress with all that knowledge you claim you have? Do you look inside your soul and realize that you are racist? Yeah, brothers and sisters, we got a whole lot of black people that's racist. Oh, I know. They call a white man the devil. No, no, no. They do more harm to their own than they do to white folks. Because most white folks won't socialize with you anyway. They don't want to associate with you. But who are you a racist to? You're a racist to your own mama. You won't go around your mother because she ain't in Ellis. Nah, you're a racist. You don't want to talk to your mother because she don't speak of the Quran. You're a racist. You don't like your sisters because why? She can't say assalamu alaikum the proper way. You're a racist. Yes, you don't even love a person that is trying to strive in this world. They get married. They have children. They raise their children properly. Their children are educated. They don't have to worry about drugs or pimping or hustling. She did a wonderful job, but you don't like her because she didn't come to El Islam. You see the rituals? But listen to what Allah says in the Holy Quran. He says, righteousness is not turning your face towards the east or the west. Whoa, God said that because my sister don't turn her face towards the east nor the west. She just pray. My sister is a Christian. So let's see what Allah says. He said, what is El-Islam? El-Islam is not rituals. Whoa, you mean it's not rituals? No, your rituals mean nothing, God says. But El-Islam, the righteous man that's judged by God, give zakat, as my brothers and sisters in the other religion understand, as charity. That's the righteous man. So you can take all your rituals, bowing your head on the rug. You can take all your prayers and your du'as. You can take your rituals and put it in a bag. It does not equal your charity and your zakat or your sadaqah. That's El-Islam. For Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, advocated that. That if you ain't giving and you ain't sharing and you ain't helping your neighbor, more or less your dear family, something wrong with you. Or you are not in El-Islam. You practice Islam, but you ain't practice El-Islam. And so Allah will reward our mothers, our fathers, and our sisters, because they gave the charity. Oh, I know you got a pencil and paper and you counting how much money they got in the bank, how much money they gave. No, no, no. They ain't Allah that don't count like that. He counts your good deeds. Every child that a mother had and she had flushed it down the toilet. Those are big blessings. Every child that a mother gives birth to and she raised that baby or those children, whoa, that's greater than your prayers, brother. That's greater than your prayer because Allah created that mother to go through that test and deliver to this earth the children that he willed for her to have. Some had 11, 12, 15, 16, like my grandma. That's El Islam. That's the beauty of the human being. But we get away from that. We have men that studied this religion, but they won't teach it the proper way. And I can't believe in my mind that they don't know. But the fact is, they have a self-accusing spirit. They don't want you to get the credit. They don't want no one to get the credit. So they're not going to tell you things that you ought to know. Brothers and sisters, we have a janazah. And a janazah means just that. We worship Allah. Because a janazah, as Allah had taught Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to do, we made four takbirs. We don't have to say nothing else. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Yes, that's true. But in this day and time, we ain't around people who know. People will never kept their father or their mother or their sibling alive. Nobody taught them. So how do you teach them? They surely come to what the Christians call a funeral. Well, nobody has any hang-ups to come pay respect for the deceased. So I don't care if you're an Islam, Christianity, that funeral parlor or that masjid is packed. Why? They want to pay respects to God's creation. But it's gone. It's gone. So why we got to talk about it? But it's the right thing to do in the 21st century because it gives you an opportunity to tell them why you're doing what you're doing. These birds, they don't want to take it. So look at the mistakes they make, all this knowledge. Not one of them head up a community center. What do you mean by community center, Morocco? Because there's a whole lot of community centers. But how about a community center where we bring our deceased, where we can hold 2,000 people inside? Now, deceased does not belong in the masala, meaning you can walk in the door of the masjid, and you can be any part of the masjid, but where you bow your head on that carpet, the deceased is not allowed there. That's the El Islam. However, we don't have no other building because we build these conglomerate masjids that can hold 3,000 or 4,000. And that's the only place we can go to bring our deceased, permissible. But they don't know that. And they don't tell you that. Because if they do, most masjids want to be paid. Most imams want to be paid. It's all about the money. So they don't want to educate you because then you'll find another facility other than the masjid. Our brothers and sisters, if we came together, we can build that facility. Because it's not just for the dead. We're living until someone passed away. And then we turn it over other than the masjid as a center where we can speak about our deceased. And then after you make your four takbirs, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we then begin to salam out. And you hear most brothers say, As-salamu alaykum, rahmatullah, barakatuhu. It's wrong. And they don't teach you that As-salamu alaykum is so powerful, you don't do nothing else for the individual. But As-salamu alaykum, Rahmat to Allah, Barakatuh, is from Muhammad the Prophet. And there's many ways proper way of saying it. Assalamu alaikum, Rahman Kik, Rahman Ka, to Allah. Rahman Ka, to Allah. Assalamu alaikum Ka. Not Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu Ka. Now, those are the proper way of saying it. There's four different ways of saying it. One is for the girl, individual. One for a man, individual. And one for more than one person, if it was taught properly. Now, I'm not here to teach no Arabic class, but the brothers ain't teaching you that. They don't want you to know that. So they run around here doing things that it's not even appropriate. Little simple things. Just simple things. You know, you come in, your Maghrib prayer, and you do your two sunnahs. Why? Because you enter the masjid. It's a ritual. You know, you go through your two sunnahs. Then after you salam out with your three obligation prayer, and then after you finish that, you make two or four sunnahs after. But you remember what Deen Muhammad said, no, there's no sunnah prayer before Maghrib. Why? Because there's only five. All right, we only do three. No, it's five. And two of the prayer, the Maghrib prayer, and then two sunnah. What do it represent? Your five senses. Oh, my God. We're doing the sunnah. And we asking Allah to guide our five senses. Yeah, because you're getting ready to go to sleep, man. So you ask Allah and beg him to guide your five senses while you in REM. REM means you dead. You don't hear nothing, can't see nothing until you awaken. So you can go in the REM and find out it's another day. I slept that long? But you're asking Allah to awaken you to your five senses. Because without your five senses, brothers and sisters, you can't balance any of this. Do they teach that? No. They don't teach it. Do they know it? Some of them do. But they don't want to give it to you. Or they find out it came from Imam Waterdeen Muhammad. And so they don't want to respect the Imam, so they ain't going to say it. Or your Imam under Imam Waterdeen Muhammad, and yet a brother like Marah Muhammad brought it to you, so you ain't going to do it. How much faith did that individual have? You got hang-ups. Something happened 30 years, you carried this grudge. But not one Imam says, wait a minute, brother. You're not supposed to let 3 days go by. How about 3 decades and got a grudge and call yourself an Imam? Well, these are the little things that disturb me, because that means you ain't practicing this religion. I'm going to tell you a story. There's a great deal of money taken from me. Where I come from, you hurt people. That's what I was taught as a youngster. But you hit a guy in the head with a bat, you don't mean to kill him, but you killed him. Now you have to pay in this world and the final day of judgment. You can't kill people over money. So you got to be careful what you want to do to a man. Now, if you learn what I learned, that the right blow at the wrong time can kiss you, I'm capable. So I got to be careful that I don't get emotional and take on that gin and hurt my brother. But it runs through your mind. Run them down. But then you look in the Holy Quran and you read persecution is worse than slaughter. When a man is cut off because of his despicable ways, they might kill him, but nobody talks to him. Nobody cares nothing about them. Oh, that's worse than if you'd have beat them up and put them in a hospital. So I went through them era. But as I grew, and this is money, brothers and sisters, we're talking about tens of thousands. So this is money. But I feel I was wrong. They took something from me. They don't take nothing from me. I'm sitting on the rug doing Ramadan. And I'm listening to Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the man was reading. And it said, for those who persecute another man, for Allah will close the gates of heaven and open up the gates of hell. That got me. That got me. As soon as I came into that knowledge, I made that phone call. And asked the person who took my money to forgive me, forgive you? I said, yes, because I did something that Allah frowns upon. I persecuted you. You don't owe me nothing, and I beg for forgiveness. They couldn't believe it, but they forgave me. And that person and I are strong today. See the Holy Quran? For all you that said this is for 1,400 years ago, as if Allah is limited. Allah is not limited, brothers and sisters. There's no beginning and there's no ending. No beginning and no ending. Well, what is the beginning? The beginning is me sitting on that rug and coming into a new knowledge. That's my beginning. And if you keep learning, Mirage, you will learn more knowledge. There's no ending. That's what God is saying. So here, I'm taking on God. Persecution is worse than slaughter. That was for Allah. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. That's for Muhammad the Prophet. It's not for you, not I. Who teaches this? Well, you got to learn the Arabic. Those words is for Allah. As-salamu alaykum. Salama Ka means one. One. It really can be for anyone. Salama Ka. That's Salama Alaikum. Can be one. You one. Muhammad the Prophet is one. Rahmatullah barakatuhu. That's not for me. Not for you. Salama Alaikum. I said, it's for a girl. But once again, I'm not here trying to teach you this religion, this Arabia. I'm just trying to awaken your mind that if you don't get in the Quran and start reading it, but how you read all these words and know these simple things that should be applied in your everyday life? It's the stubbornness. And when you become stubborn, just look at it, brothers and sisters. I know a masjid that used to hold 5,000 members. Where are they? Because of their misunderstanding and their selfishness and cutting themselves off from the world. Where are they? Do you know where they are? They down to 200. I know a masjid that used to have 1,000. How about 1,500? Sometimes 2,000 on Sunday, called False Sunday. Where is it? Where did the people go? They down to 50. I know a masjid, you only can get 200 in it. And that was wall to wall. Where is it? They down to 20. I know a masjid that you ain't get 150 in there, wall to wall. They down to 20, 30. I know a masjid, the only place we would go for our janazah. 400 people get in and another 200 on the outside. Where are they? Oh, that door is closed. You can't even go there anymore. But where are they? They're somewhere they shouldn't be. But go there, you'll find 30 people. Now, is it the size? Yes, when you have these numbers and you trigger it down to almost nothing, there's a problem. Now, there's some last chance that you can't get in the door right now, 200. But they ain't produced nothing. Nothing whatsoever. You know how Islam is storefronts? Is that what we want, storefronts? We want other people's property? There's something wrong with us that we don't build? Why is Allah doing this? Allah ain't doing it. You're doing it to yourself. You do it to yourself. Allah cursed us. No, you curse yourself. And you don't even wake up and understand you curse yourself. You don't do the right thing by your Lord. The creation ain't helping you till you get back on the right pattern. Allah say he ain't helping you. So look at the way you're going. So you want to call a gather. Give it a name. Convention. Who coming? Who wants to come? Who wants to be around that rhetoric? Who wants to follow losers? Losers. Who want to follow someone that got a grudge for 30 years? Not 3 days. Over 30 years. And the grudge they got against the person that they're grudging is successful. And if you talk to the individual, he'll say, they stole that from me. Well, let me awaken you. And before I say it, I have a right to call myself a native Indian. My grandpa, born on an Indian reservation, is a native Indian. My father was born on the Indian reservation, a native Indian. So I have a right to call me a native Indian. So I'm giving that to you so you can hear what I said. My native Indian brothers were shooting bow and arrows and catching buffalo, using their coat, eating the meat, smoking the peat pipe, with all that land. Well, guess who stole it from them? The white man. But look at it now. Look at the land now. Look at Chicago. Look at California. Look at Washington, D.C. Look at New Jersey and New York. Tracks for the trains to move to and from. Automobiles riding on land with tar, highways and byways built. Why, brother, they got so sophisticated, they created planes to go in the air to move from one part of the country to the other part in a matter of hours. So you look at it, Allah removed it from them that was not doing anything called Native Indians. Now, I'm not trying to go into the history because we wasn't Native Indians. Old crazy guy come out of the European country and thought he was going to India, Christopher Columbus, and saw these black men running around here and called him Indian. He thought he was in India. That's another story. But I'm trying to prove a point. You cannot sit on God's land and don't develop it. So I will take it from you. So they already gave him money to satisfy them. But when they took it, they had no money. Today they're trillionaires. so the federal government can reimburse them back for what they have done. Because they want to make up. And my native Indian brothers took it. And they ain't complaining no more. The only thing they got a problem with is Washington Redskins. They don't like that. But the Redskins been in so in business for so long, they don't want to give up the name. That's just my sense of humor. You can't sit around and not do nothing. And you fail and you won't come together as a community, which Allah wants from us. Until then, you will not build anything. You will not build. How would you want to live in somebody else's house? Build your own community. So they can come and ride around and say, yes, this is New Africa community with beautiful homes and different stores, your own bakery, your own halal, your own furniture store, your own appliance stores, your own restaurants, your own music, your own entertainment, your brand new masjids, your education schools. The best in the country. Men and women getting married every day. Understanding I ain't not going anywhere without the other half. It's a shame that we are not advocating this as powerful as we are. But Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will leave you right there in the flood. Don't get on this ship. Go to the highest mountain so you don't drown. And watch you drown. While you're drowning now. And so it gives me great privilege, and I'm highly honored to be able to speak to you for 2 hours. To come up with things that you not even think about and don't want to think about it. We got to understand, brothers and sisters, that this is a real world out here, and we got people out there that came from the original Father, our Christians, our Jews, and brothers and sisters that look like they're foreigners, our neighbors, the Caucasians, the Latinos, the Portuguese, the Irishmen, the Italians, yes, the Jews. They are brothers and sisters, whether we like it or not. If you say you know, why you have a problem? You got a problem because you don't know. You faking it as if you know. So the powers of be say, what's wrong with this individual? Here they read the Holy Quran, but they ain't practicing the Holy Quran. They just going through what? Rituals. That's not Islam, brothers and sisters. Just think about it. You got to go to Hajj. And you got to walk around that Kaaba 7 times in that hot sun. And you got to do all those prayers and all those du'as. And if you don't make it to Arafat, it stands for nothing. Allah will accept all that you went through over there making hot. Did you understand that? If you don't make it to Arafat, now if you die, you made it there. Because your intention was, but you didn't get there. You didn't make Arafat. And what is Arafat, brothers and sisters? Arafat is what Allah says, you are not going to be accepted. Your Hajj is not accepted unless you met Arafat. That's when you meet your brothers and sisters. That's where you meet men and women in all walks of life. You see what Allah is saying to you? You now got the connection to the world. Brother from Pakistan. Brother from Italy, England. Brothers and sisters from Africa, from Japan. Oh, man, everybody in all walks of life is at Arafat. Put your clothes back on so we can identify you. So we can see where you come from, brother. There go my Pakistan brother. I'm going over there and grab and hug him. There go my brother from Italy. I'm going over there and hug them. There go my brother from China. I'm going to go over there and hug him. Learn about his culture. Brothers from Africa, all parts of the continent. I'm going to hug him. Egypt, Turkey. I'm going to hug him. What's your name, brother? You look just like me. My name is Abdullah. I'm Pakistani. I am too. Oh, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What's your name, brother? My name is Fuquan. Where are you from, brother? You look like me. I'm from America. Oh, wait a minute. You ain't dressed like American. That was my clothes from Egypt. Oh, I happened to put them on. No. You from Africa. Come on, you from Nigeria. But you don't have on Nigeria clothes. No, I'm from America. Are you dressed in, that's your culture over there? No, it's my style. I wear gator shoes. So I'm going to wear these clothes. That's our style over there. We're different from everybody else. Oh, wait a minute, that's not Ellen's style. I need your culture. Where's your culture? You sound like you got an accent, but how am I going to learn English if you don't teach me English? I'll teach you Arabic. I'll teach you Chinese. I'll teach you German. I'll teach you Russian. What can you teach me, brother? Yeah, get back in your skin. Read your Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why he didn't make Muhammad the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Arab. He didn't make him an Arab. Because Muhammad would have grew up and loved the prophet. And now I want to be an Arab. Well, you lost your identity, man. So Allah knew it. Allah knew that Muhammad didn't want to look like no Arab. So who is Muhammad the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He's an upright human being. Ah, is that what he is? An upright human being? I'm sorry, brother. Daddy, I love you. You're a native Indian. But I'm going back to my original father. I'm going to get back in my upright human being. Yes. Before all these titles. I'm going to be like Muhammad the prophet, the Ushwa of Muhammad the prophet. Yes, I'm going to follow that way. I don't want to know how tall he was. I don't want to know how long his beard was. I don't want to know what complexion he was, how he talked, how he brushed his teeth and walked with a cane. I don't want to know that. That don't excite me. How did he come? The perfect example to all humanity. That's what I want to learn. I got it, brother Iman. Iman Waruddin Muhammad. Allah has inspired you to teach us to be like Muhammad the prophet Uswa. I don't need to see him. I don't know what his ways was. I know he taught the Holy Quran. And Allah didn't let him waver in his nature. No, for the Holy Quran says, I'm going to teach Muhammad. Whoa, let's read that again. I'm going to teach Muhammad. Did you know that Muhammad, prayers, peace upon him, was a student of God? He was a student of God. Because Allah said, I'm going to teach Muhammad. Oh, man. Oh, man. How could you go wrong, man? And know that God can teach an individual. And then later on in the Quran, they say, I taught Muhammad. Yes, he earned it. He never got out of his nature. He's ready now. He's ready for what? He's ready for revelation. Passed the test, 40 years. Let me see if you passed the test. 40 years, what you do? Dope dealer? 40 years, what you do? Woman abuser? 40 years, what you do? Run through females? 40 years, what did you do? You ate the pig, the pork, before you got to 40? What did you do? Allah didn't choose you. You were all messed up, deaf, dumb, and blind. But Allah picked one that didn't know his daddy. You see, I know my daddy, Native Indian. Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, didn't know his daddy. His daddy died while he was in the womb of his mother. 5 years. 5 years, brothers and sisters, 5 years, his mother died. And listen to his answer when the question was asked him. Rasuli, the messenger of God. Who you love? My mother. She is the most important person in your life? Yes, my mother. Your mother? Why, she, you don't even know her. How could you love your mother and only know her for 5 years? Okay, who is the second most important person in your life, Rasuli? My mother. Wait a minute. What did your mother teach you in 5 years? You're only 5 years old. Who's the third most important person in your life? My mother. My God. Your mother didn't teach you. Your mother didn't raise you. Your mother couldn't do nothing for you. You was just an infant. You was sucking on other people's breasts. They were giving you milk. Women you didn't even know was a mother to you. And you loved your mother 3 times? I'm going to ask you the last question. Who's the fourth most important person you love, Muhammad? My father. You birds grew up with your mother and father. Some of y'all didn't leave the house till you're 20, 21. And you don't even love your mother or your father. And the father wasn't even alive. He don't even know him. Somebody had to be teaching him. Think about it. Allah said, I will teach Muhammad. You thought it just started? Taught him in the womb of his mother. Teaching him ever since he came on the face of the planet Earth. But he loved his mama. He loved his father. And you know how some of your weak individuals, I've been adopted. I didn't have no real parents. You selfish individual. For Muhammad the Prophet was adopted from several families. Because his uncle was smart enough to know that I can't give that baby what it needs. What is that? Love and affection and love and care. And sensitivity. Man can't give you that. So he gave them away to other women. Oh, y'all don't know that. Allah is teaching Muhammad. Christianity. Yeah, y'all was Christians. Judaism. Now y'all Jews. Paganism. Y'all believe in idol gods. Yeah, you got an idol god. We can talk about that. Y'all so hung up on idol gods, you only make a prayer if you see a picture or a mirror. Because you're in love with idol god, as if the mirror is going to say something to you. You know you weak in your heart. Oh, I know it's your ritual. Didn't I just tell you ain't no rituals in the Holy Quran? Well, Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, loved his mother and father. They called their mother and father today kafas. My mama's a kafa. I feed a believer before I feed my mother, even if she's starving to death. This is men call themselves in El Islam. No, you ain't in El Islam. You in your own Islam. Yeah, I'll give you that. You Islamic. But you ain't going to find that in the Holy Quran. So you Islamic. You don't even love your own mother. But you want to be like Muhammad the Prophet. No, you want to dress like him. You want to brush your teeth like him. You want to wear your beard like him. But don't you ever dare say that you following Muhammad the Prophet's Uswa. You following rituals. Yeah, I said it. And I can prove it. I'm proving it now. That's why Allah gave me this vehicle, because you can't interrupt. See, Satan can't interrupt. All he can do is turn me off. This is station. He can cut me off right now. But you can't. You ain't reached that level. You a pea brain. So either you turn the phone off or leave. That's your prerogative. But your grandchildren, they'll come to New Africa. Excellent. Mirage speak and listen to the station because it's being recorded. So I may not get you, but the truth is going to always be here because it's Allah. So Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just told you he loved them, but he never wavered. So Allah chose him because he was in his perfect example as a human being in his nature. 40 years. You birds can't do 40 years. You're locked up. You got crime on you. You can't do 40 years. 40 years of continuity. He was chased. Feces was thrown at him. They were trying to kill him. Never waited. Never waited. Always was in his righteous nature. That's what makes him a perfect example to all of us. But not for you to praise him as he's a god. To see yourself. For Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace, upon him, said we are a mirror of one another. So what part of that you didn't see? I'm a mirror of Muhammad the Prophet. You are a mirror of Muhammad the Prophet. Oh, I know. You don't look like him. You don't dress like him. You don't talk like him. So I'm not the mirror. No, not that fuss you looking in the mirror, man. Not that low nature, that low flush that you're dealing with. Your nature is Muhammad the Prophet. He's a mirror of your nature. Now I'm showing you how he operated for 40 years with continuity being righteous. For he left for 10 years. In exile, came back, took over Mecca, and treated the people kindly. You lose a building that wasn't a masjid, and you hold a grudge for 30 years, and you follow Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who are you fooling? You carry grudges. You angry with your brother. I say what I have to say, and that's it. I don't dislike you, but that jinn can get me, and then I ask Allah to help me put it back in his bottle. You know, that's why they had the genie. You rub it 3 times. Why not twice? They smart. And that genie comes out and says, oh, what do you want me to have for you, master? That Caucasian know how to tell you the truth in a story that your mind is so far out. So don't fault me. Amen. Warahi Muhammad studied the Uswa, Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and gave it to us. That's his tafsir for all your unintelligent people. Ain't it amazing to me? Just think about it. You doing science, and the guy that criticized science ain't never went to school in his life, but he know the difference of science. You're a mathematician genius. But who's criticizing you? One with a kindergarten mind. Well, that's a metaphor for unproductive individuals. You should say, hold it, brother. Hold 1 minute. You got a whole lot to say that's negative. Tell me what you've done positive. Can you tell me what you've done? If you can tell me what you've done positive, maybe I can listen to you. But you tell me so-and-so ain't got it right. But so-and-so is successful. And so-and-so got a good name. And everybody loves him. Everywhere you go, part of so-and-so you don't like. Well, no one questions that. Because all they want to do is work for Satan, that jinn that's in them, and they want to spell out negativity. Why, brother, you go on the internet, and you're damn near sending people to jail. You fighting with them. Now you tell a man that what's wrong with you? You need a psychiatrist? As soon as you see someone say that, it's because that person who said it need a psychiatrist. You know what also that bothers me? You got to watch who you talk to. because you by yourself. I don't know a man that does all that talking got anybody that will die for him. Useless, worthless, insignificant, unproductive, but got a whole lot of mouth. You need to shut up and listen, and maybe you'll be successful. Just check your history, all that knowledge. But you hate your mama. She's a copper. You hate your father. He's a copper. You hate your siblings because they are copper. You know what the sad thing about it, brothers and sisters who listen to me? They use the words wrong. Copper ain't got nothing to do with somebody's mama or somebody's daddy. Copper ain't got nothing to do with an alcoholic or a pig-eating man or woman. Coffee ain't got nothing to do with a person that likes sex, can't control their low desires. Coffee ain't got nothing to do with that. Coffee don't got nothing to do with education or religion. So what is a coffee, you unintelligent individual? Well, that's what Allah says. The word coffee means guarding of the consciousness. Well, is that alcoholic? Is he conscious of him being an alcoholic? No, he's out of his mind. That man that loves sex, is he conscious of what he's doing? No, he's out of his mind. That Christian accept Christianity, is he a kafir? Not under the words that Allah used in the Holy Quran. Well, where they get this from, all right? They don't know. They just use it because someone from the foreign country, they heard say it. And it sounds good to them. So everybody's a kafir. Well, told you about the prophet loving his mother and father. Oh, I just awakened your conscience. Now call her a kafir tomorrow. That's a kafir. One who don't want to guard his consciousness. And now he's a kafir in a bad way. Meaning, you know the knowledge now, but you chose to sow dope. You know the knowledge now, but you chose to abuse a female. You know the knowledge, but you mistreat your family. You're a kafir, brother. But if in fact, you decide, let me go make it up with my mother. Let me make it up with my father. Let me beg God for forgiveness because they left here. Ask Allah to forgive you. Let me make it up with the brothers that I don't like. Now you're a kafir in a good way. Oh, ain't no one meaning to God's words, man. Who the hell is you to limit God? Oh, they don't teach you that. Why? Because you're looking for some foreigner to come and wake you up. Well, they don't even believe you Muslim. You are the one pushing yourself on them. They come in our country and they build. And y'all standing still. And you expect someone to help you. You won't even help yourself. You got to be careful what you say to people. Hey, brother, why are you not with so-and-so? Oh, they ain't Muslim. Who ain't a Muslim? Them Christians. Well, they not, huh? No. They going to hell. Well, why are you over there talking with the Jews? Oh, they ain't Muslim. Why? They Jewish. Where they going? They going to hell. So let me understand this, brother. What do Christianity and Judaism got to do with the nature of the human being? What do you mean? Why do you take them, their nature from them and call them not Muslims? Do you know what Muslim means? Yeah, I know what Muslim means. Muslim means one who submits to the will of God. And you don't think their nature is submitting to the will of God? I don't believe if the nature wasn't submitted to the will of God, they'd all be dead. Because the heart moves at God's will. The liver, the pancreas, moves as God's will. What part you didn't know about the nature of the human being that God breathed in? They operate on the will of God. Telling me that their nature is no longer a nature now because they took on Christianity? Because they decided to drink? They decided to do drugs? You telling me that their nature is not Muslim because they want to be a Jew? Don't sound intelligent to me. Well, how about the birds? Are they a Muslim? How about the insects? Are they Muslim? How about the animals? Are they Muslim? You hate dogs. Is that a Muslim? You can't prove it by me because all of them act as God created them to be. They can't be nothing else. A dog can't be a pig, and a pig can't be a dog. And neither one of them could be a cat. And none of them can fly, so they can't be a bird. So it seems like they more obedient to the Lord than you are. Why? Because your wife will call you a dog. Your wife will call you a pig. Your wife will call you an animal. But what that got to do with your nature? It's a mentality. Do they know they're Muslim? No. Well, that's your fault. Because the duty of the civilized man is to teach the uncivilized what the uncivilized Muhammad taught us. He was smart. He was giving us Quran and wouldn't tell us. Because you might not would have came. Money, that's what you came for. And good homes. And all friendships and all walks of life. If nobody said money, you wouldn't have came. Someone going to show you how to get some money, you ran to El-Islam. Or we'll call that Islam. No, I'm going to give it El-Islam because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew that he had to make us crawl before we walk and walk before we can run. Now we fly. I thank Allah for him much. And may Allah be pleased with him. Remember what Muhammad said, he walked in the door and his followers down on his knees with his head on the forehead, praying. So he knew. And some people say that we angry will because he didn't teach us. Well, let me give you something, pea brain. Your mama was eating steak. And what was you eating? Baby food. So you angry with your mother because she didn't feed you steak? Why, you would have choked. You weren't ready for no steak. You couldn't chew it. And you sure couldn't swallow it. And you couldn't digest it. So she knew to give you baby food. While her and her husband, your daddy, was eating steak. We was babies, brother. You had to be fed baby food. You see, now you think you got it all. You're out your damn mind. You ain't even in your own skin. You know, just ran away. Allah Muhammad said, keep the foreigners out. Why? Because other likes attract. You'll forget us and be just like them. He predicted it. They ain't wearing no suits and ties. They want to look like someone else. Man, let's shoot down all Muslims. What they look like, Billy? Y'all, they wear long dresses. Bam, 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 bam. Damn, man, you got them. You go see, oh, man, that's my brother. Oh, that's my mother's son. I didn't know. They don't look like us. We thought we would kill the Arab. Oh, man. I thank the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that teaches us how to be us. Who is us? A Muslim. Who is a Muslim in your heart? And what do? We make all things new. Why, they're wearing high heels and afros and smoking cigarettes, fire on one end, a fool on the other. We were sharp, brother. Walking fast, fast stepping. Quoting student Roman. Quoting the problem book. Yeah, yeah, let's think it. We sound intelligent. Do for self. Love self and kind. Go in business. Don't worry about what you own. Go make the money and then get all the expertise, but go in business. Yes. Now today you got nothing.
Can I work for you, Mr. Boss? Yes, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. How much do I get paid? $9. You think I can get 10? I will have to take my family out to eat, but I'll go to the Pakistan restaurant. I'll go to the Indian restaurant. I'll go to the Turkish restaurant, and, you know, but your system get tired of that because you ain't used to it. So, man, I need me some mashed potatoes, and I need me some chicken, and I need me some corn on the cob, and I need me some cabbage cooked the proper way. Oh, I know. Come on down here. We got all that for you. And you walked in and said, oh, my God, look at all me. I'm so glad I'm here. I said, wait a minute. Where are these foreigners coming? Oh, they own it. What? They feed us our chicken? They feed us our cabbage, our vegetables? Oh, man. You ain't free. Went back into slavery. Salam alaikum. Rahmatu Allah. Barakatu. Our brother sounds good. But what have you done? Where's your restaurant? Where's your schools? Where's your family? Did you bring your mother and father around? How about your siblings? Where's your grandchildren? Where's your Eids? Oh, you broke up in tribes. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. But we ain't waiting for you. No, brother. Why, we got Juma prayer coming. Yes. On the 28th of this month, we're looking for 100,000 Muslims. And they coming. And we have a senator that decide to embrace us. Caucasian. Irishman. Go study the Irishman. They went through hell. They know how to fight. So if they with you, they with you. Kiziak, this man embraced the Islamic world. Went out there and told them that Islam is peace. And he lives around a Muslim, wrote a letter to Baton Rouge and said, get out of the Muslims' way and let them build. Well, today they built it. They got the approval to build a masjid from the ground up. Yes, everybody built it. But you don't want to build anything. You just want to die. And you want a janazah. So everybody come out and give you 4 takbirs. And then send your flush to the grave. And you go into the holding place for the final day of judgment. I give you 5 months. They say, remember, brother, so who is that? Oh, you just had a janazah 5 weeks ago. Oh, yeah, I think I do. You ain't even leave a legacy behind. Your grandchildren won't miss you because you ain't did nothing with them. Yeah, all this comes back to haunt you. But when you belong to a community and you have sense of people, let me tell you something, sisters and brothers. And I want you to listen to me loud and clear. Because one day you'll go to the archives and bring this up. Don't let no imam that don't know your family bury your family. That's un-Islamic. If your father can't do the janazah, teach your sons. You start right now. Nobody got to tell them how to talk about their father or their mother or their aunt. And if you don't have to get your uncle, find them now so you don't have these spookism people coming in doing anything with your bodies, earth. But you got to leave a legacy. Who was he? What did he do? Everybody going to come out. You got to be a part of a community. Don't let nobody tell you that's haram. The body got to be rushed to the grave and you can't talk about the deceased. All that ritual spookism. And the same person that tell you that, you paying them. He's telling you what to do and you paying them. Yeah, I was called to do a janazah because they call me uncle. But I teach, if you don't have a father or a son or uncle, yes, I'll do it. Outside of that, find 3 ahead of me.
But you go to these brothers who are supposed to be imams, and yet, to me, they con artists. They get you for the money. I had there's a brother that told a sister, if you ain't got the money, I ain't doing the janazah. And a Christian said, I'll do it for you. But in her mind, that was a curse. So she went and found the money to pay the brother, imam. Yeah, that's the title he got, imam. But if she'd have came to me, I'd have said, hand that priest the Bible, the Quran, and tell him to read Fatiha in English. And when he finished, tell him to say, Allahu Akbar, four times. And they go, your janazah. And it didn't cost you nothing, because the Christians say you'll do it for free. But in your mind, he was a Christian. That's how you looked at him, as his religion. You looked at his religion. You didn't look at his nature. He's a Muslim in his nature. Now, do Christians say the wrong thing? Yes. But hand him the Quran. Tell him just read this. Read this, sir. And there go your janazah. And then tell him when he finished, just say Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Do you not say Assalamu Alaikum? Yeah, say, turn to your right and say Assalamu Alaikum. You just taught him. You saved all that money. But they taught you he ain't a Muslim. Well, let me ask you a question. Allow me to ask you a question. Did you ever go in the hospital and get operated on and you dying or your child is dying? Did you ever say to the doctor, are you a Muslim? No, you're dying, fool. You need an expert. We got to come out of this spookism. And you're going to practice Al-Islam, practice it properly. You got men standing up in the air looking like they're floating, talking to you. They don't want to come down. You so low and so beneath them, they got to stand up on a ladder over top of you like they flying. And they reading you Arabic. I want it so bad to say, ho, 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 brother, man. But you can't do that in Juma. Ho, brother, man. Everybody here at the sound of my voice can repeat what he just said. Stand up. Can't do it. And then you wonder why they look like zombies. Like they dead. They lost their soul. Dead man walking. Remember what it's in Muhammad taught me, that you can die in this world with your soul and your spirit. And guess what? It will be left right here. Ooh. That means you don't advance on, man. You killed your soul and your spirit in this world. Brother and sister, if you don't wake up, everything will pass by you. It's going to be past tense. Because you won't come together. Sisters, y'all got power. Now, I know y'all got these individual groups. It's okay. You might be from Jamaica, so you want to have an individual group. You might be from Panama. You want to have your individual group. You might be from Nigeria. How about Ghana? You might have your little group. How about Kenya? But it's a chain. The groups we got, this one is from West Bigelow, this one is from West Kennedy, this one's from Clinton Avenue, this one's from High Street, this one's from South Orange Avenue. We cut up in tribes. We can't even call a country. We're American. All right. When are we going to come together as one? And that's what we're going to show on the 28th, that there's 400,000 of us in the state of New Jersey. And we put 100,000, we are happy. We call on a press conference on the 8th. That press conference will announce where we're going to be at in Clark, Edison. Yes. And that beautiful park was given to us. And we're going to go in there and make Juma prayer. So you can come and have a little bit of eat. My business there, because that's a crowd. Where there's a crowd, there's money. But the name of the game is to have Juma prayer, one prayer given by an imam that we haven't chose yet, so you don't come because an imam is Smokey Robinson. No, that's not how Islam do. We come in to make our Juma prayer, and we decide to pick someone that can speak English distinctly. And so, because we talking to the world, we ain't just talking to New Jersey. Everybody will come out and see the men and women in groves, and we make a statement in the whole state of New Jersey, but more important, inshallah, around the world, we make a statement. And our brothers, after 8 years of knocking on the door, finally decide to come together. Now, keep in mind, we have brothers that look like us came together. They got so jealous that they fell off. Yes, they did. They fell off. Like we're going to stand still. And look what Allah sent us. He sent us Turkey. He sent us Pakistan. He sent us Egypt. He sent men and women around the world that have united with us. Because they're here in America. They ain't come here because they thought of coming here and go to school. No, it was written in their womb that they will be here in America. And so they realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a gift because they are rich with the oil. But we are rich with the spirit of the Holy Quran. Allah has blessed us in America for our suffering. No, brother, it ain't because of our suffering. That sounds good, don't it? No. Allah has blessed us because we ain't trying to be vindictive. We ain't trying to get anybody back or slay anybody. We thank Allah that we are here and we're on the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and practicing his uswa. Yes, we thank Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has raised us up from the mud of civilization. And we thank Allah we came through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who was wudu. You want to put him in perspective? Call him wudu. Yes, because you drug addicts, and some of you still drug addicts under the Islamic banner. Yes, some of y'all still sell dope under the Islamic banner. Some of y'all still drink under the Islamic banner. I know some of you smoke reefer under the Islamic banner. Yeah, some of y'all are playing with women because you don't want no man to touch you under the Islamic banner. And you got some men that don't know they he or she under the Islamic banner. We got some of everybody. Because that's how Satan works. Don't you ever think Satan ain't working. Why, he say he come from the right, the left, the front, and the back. And most of y'all fall victim. Yeah, we got imams that's legend in their own mind. It's a shame that these things are happening. But New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, LLC ain't waiting on that. No, we ain't waiting for that. We building industry. That's what we building, industry. And we are on the shore board of Essex County and Union County. And they coming by the gold. We have meetings all over. We'll be in Masjid Allah in Plainfield tomorrow. Yes, we all going there. And we thank Wali. You all should support him. He's being honored. The tickets only cost $75. 40 years of continuity. 40 years of building a masjid of substance. 40 years, his demeanor never changed. 40 years of being a part of whatever shore board, but he was a part of the shore board of Essex County and Union County. And then they choose the brother Khalil, who didn't want it. He didn't want it, brothers and sisters. He actually turned it down. He was happy in his life and being assistant under Wali. But what did he do? Abdullah Wali chose him to be the imam, and they welcomed him with open arms. He got the same demeanor. The difference is he's outstanding. And Wali is about 6 feet tall. He's 6'3". So he's outstanding. However, he may not know the Arabic like Abdullah Wali Muhammad, but his heart is right. He got a pure heart. His chest is big. Allah expanded his chest, and they love him. You see the difference? All these Arab-speaking imams, but their heart ain't right. That's why they can't progress. So he, Wali, Abdullah, servant, Wali, friend, Wali, Muhammad, praiseworthy, worthy, praise, said, I can't take y'all any further. He ain't quitting. but he's still on our board. That's why we're supporting him. The brothers of Essex County and Ewing County, we're supporting him. The foreign brothers are supporting him. New Africa, FNLLC is supporting him. What are you doing? Is you supporting him? We shouldn't be able to get into place. But he's setting the precedent. This should be on the front page of the newspaper. 40 years he bowed out. No one kicked him out. He knew the time was up. Moved someone in there, younger, energetic, motivated. Got the ability to take them further. These birds want to stand in the way. They want to stand in the way and read Arabic and play masonry and incorporate it in their teaching and think they're going somewhere. These birds want to curse. These birds want to sit on land. These birds want to sell out and double deal and lose everything. Hey, man, get out the way. But they won't. So Allah will move them. And you wake up and realize, let's build our own masjid. So New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC is going to do just that. But not no great conglomerate building just to pray. What, is that all we need to do is just pray? No, it's a part of the estate. But 80% of the state is industry, economics, how to interact with your people. That's El-Islam. El-Islam is giving back. El-Islam is taking care of the needy. El-Islam is helping those who can't help themselves. El-Islam is to give to charity. El-Islam is to share your knowledge. El-Islam is respect those who Allah sent. There's no way in the world Imam Wazdi Muhammad, with his education, should know what he know, that he is given. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Allah just sent it to me. He said, tell them this. Every man, I can name every one of them, from Shipley all the way to Don Islam, to Warris, to Ali Muslim, to the Arab brothers, to the Pakistani brothers, imams, the Turkey imams, I can name more. And not one of them can go in Saudi Arabia and be accepted by the ulemas, the sheikhs. None of them brothers will be accepted as an imam. But they invite Imam Wardeen Muhammad to, he was an ambassador for the United States, and we get pictures of how they all gather around him. And keep in mind, brothers and sisters, there's about 30 imams, I could be off a number or two, that writes the Quran every year before Ramadan. And not one Quran could be sent out except these seven brothers. Seven. And each one comes from a different city. I'm sorry, a different country. And they have to approve those 30. They are scholars. When a man goes into Saudi Arabia during that time, he don't sit with the 30, he sits with the 7. And it was the 7 ulamas and sheikhs, hafizes, those men say, Dr. Imam Wardeen Muhammad, Dr. P. Brain, with no education, say he don't have his own tafsir. He don't know nothing about tafsir. Oh, he need to go back and study and find out what is a tafsir. It's like a brother said, where's that in the Quran? Go read it, chump. Coward, go read it for yourself. You think I'm going to do your job for you? Now, how is it that you come all the way back to Newark in the ghetto and a wannabe, a legend in their own mind, going to say what Imam is not? And none of them was on that level. But let's go a little further. The Christian Nickelodeon is one of the most outstanding organizations. And we had one-third of what they do around the country, headed by a female. Love these ma'am that they came a part of us, and she, before she died, took Shahada and told her followers, she bear witness that there is only but one God, and Muhammad the prophet is a seal, and I'm a Christian. They love her to the day they love her. She loved Iman Wallace B. Muhammad. They was married from the neck up. The Dalai, everybody goes to him. He's a powerful man. Love Iman Wallace B. Muhammad. Most of these bishops and priests and reverends love Iman Wallace B. Muhammad. But when he went in the Vatican, and they made him the guest speaker of all men of the cloth. All this is on TV. And he walked to the Pope, and the Pope stood up. He kissed the Pope and leaned on his shoulder because he's shorter. And went to kiss the other side, the Pope kissed him. That's respect. If that ain't Jesus and Muhammad coming together, as it's been written, then what is? Then the President of the United States of America, Bush, brought, yeah, we did prayer on the ground, but Wallace D. Muhammad was in there as the opener for all the men of the cloth of America because of the Bush family. Oh, he left on a major, major level. And you who he taught, won't even give him the credit. Now you know how they think about you. There go those niggas again. They don't even like their own kind. They ain't got nothing else to do but ridicule. And that's why we ain't successful. Well, let me tell you what he told us. Well, they're going to say you're going to sound just like me. He said, but you tell them that I am the flesh of Iman Wallace being Muhammad. I'm his spirit, I'm his soul, I'm his nature. Get behind me, Satan. What that mean? I got the same flesh he got. It will sin. I got the same soul he got. It can go down. I got the same spirit. And sometimes it might not get up. I got the same nature that he has. Get behind me, Satan. You ain't gonna ever cut me off for being a student of Iman Wallace B. Muhammad. I follow Muhammad the prophet. Prayers and peace be upon him. I follow the uswa of Muhammad the prophet. I'm on the salat of Mustaqim. That's what my leader taught me. But I'm a student of him that I can see and touch and feel. He ain't go nowhere. I'm talking about him right now. And inshallah, my children will talk about him. And my grandchildren, my great-great children will talk about him. But Satan don't want that to happen. They don't want no more Ahmad Muhammad's running around here trying to create radio communication and talk about he want $1 trillion. We ain't teach our niggas that. They black. They need to get back. They one-fifth of a human being. Isn't that something? Well, trick you and con you. They can't con me. I'm a free spirit. I say what I have to say when I have to say it. And you don't have to accept. But don't bother me. Because I'm still working on that gym. Just don't disturb me. I won't disturb you. And I see you in trouble, I'll help you. If I see it, can't help you if I don't know nothing about it. And brothers and sisters, if we don't come together as a community, we're not going anywhere. Mother's Day is Sunday, and we're going to go down to Washington, D.C. to show that imam that we respect him because we want Washington, D.C. to come up here. So why not go down there? And I expect everybody not going to be able to go. I'm not being selfish. My mother is not here. She's in my heart. She will always be here with me. So I don't have no mother to stay back. And I don't know why the others are going with me. Maybe they're in the same boat now I'm in. However, we're supposed to respect that brother down there. If we weren't going down there to help a masjid that stands up for, you remember what his name, Muhammad, that walks it out of the White House and stand up for the political strengths, then we'd be left in a community. Now, some of us will be here to go downtown. They got a convention downtown. Would I have went if I was here? Just observe. Pray a lot that they would do well, but I don't see it. Not that they bad guys, they just, something is wrong with the leadership, that they won't come together. If we came together, nobody wouldn't have to worry about anything. But the mayor say he love y'all, but he gave a good piece of property to those who were doing something. They call the NOI. You got to salute them, brother. I came that way, and I love them. Some things I don't care for, but how could I ignore them strong, militant brothers that get up and go to work? That's what I love. I always love that. It's always going to touch my heart. And give me one of those papers, brother. Matter of fact, give me two. And I did just that. And I thank you for listening to me. And I pray a lot and didn't say nothing to hurt anyone, because that is not my intentions at all. I ask Allah to forgive me if I have. And sometimes we can go on and say things that you may find is a mistake. You might mispronounce a syllable. You might split a verb. And you might not say the Arabic correctly, but you got the point. It's called good intention. But if I say anything for you to stand up in your spirit and your soul, and want something out of life and come together as a community and revert back to the fitra in which you was created and be obedient to God, give that credit to Allah. Don't give it to me. I greet you from all the prophets, from Adam to Noah to Moses to Abraham to Jesus to Muhammad the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessing be upon the prophets and their descendants and their companions. With the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you all. Thank you for listening.